new episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons this week. We are back for Hate Week, Iowa State Week. The Cy Hawk Trophy is on the line. They took it from us last year. Came into Iowa City for the first time in a long time and grabbed the Cy Hawk Trophy, took it home to Ames. We now travel there on Saturday. Can the Hawks grab it back? We discuss some memories from our time in this game and a whole lot more. Let's have a day. Let's go.
If you ain't with us, you're against us. Fuck Iowa State.
Good intro. What do you think of that, Gary?
I liked it. Drake's been getting more succinct lately. Just straight to the point.
Succinct. Good word.
Oh, yeah.
Drake's always kind of been succinct.
I'm not a beat around the bush guy.
That's fair.
It's Iowa State week. Welcome in. Kev, how you doing?
I'm jacked to the fucking tits. How are you?
You're jacked to the tits, huh?
Jacked to the tits.
You take pre-workout or you're
on
just
on a Wednesday?
It's hate week, buddy.
Is it? Okay, let's start there. Is it hate week? Do we hate them?
Yes. You're the only one in this group that doesn't for some damn reason.
Okay.
This is getting out of hand.
Question.
All right.
I mean, this is Nebraska volleyball fan as well, though.
So. I think I have to retire.
Did you see the way they treat us?
What do you mean?
When you come into Ames, the way you're treated?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know.
What we hear when we come down the tunnel? Like,
yeah, I know
that. Little brother shit. It just is. It's like, I'm tired of getting beat up. I fuck you. I hate you. I'm tired of you beating up on me. Fuck Iowa. Fuck Iowa. That's all it is. It's crybaby little brother bullshit, dude.
That is a good.
I hate that.
You are spot on with that. That is kind of how it comes off. But at the same time, you love it though, right?
No, Yeah. I love playing in their stadium.
Yeah.
Coming down the tunnel, hearing it from them. I loved it. That's boner fuel.
Oh, absolutely. Kev, you agree? Iowa State top.
Dude, their linebackers cut ISO blocks. Iowa State linebackers cut on ISO blocks.
Okay, explain that.
Think about something more pussy than diving, trying to submarine an ISO block on an inside run. Like, as a linebacker, you should be thinking, I'm the baddest dude on the field. I'm going to smoke this fullback, two gap him, and tackle the running back who's coming in right behind him.
Okay.
Let me dive on the ground and give myself up because I know I can't make this play.
Right. The idea is I'm just going to go one for one on this block, which is a pretty pussy attitude as far as the linebacker.
Dude, Kevin moved from safety to linebacker, and in his first camp, he took me on absolute head-on freight train style on a power block. First camp out of playing safety. Like, there's football players and there's not football players, and not football players play linebacker for Iowa State.
Yeah, not football players give themselves up. If you want to be a good football player, you never give up on the play. I mean, it's not exactly giving up on the play, like, but you basically are, right? You're like, just accepting, I'm not going to make this play.
So, Kluver, you know, you remember the catch that I had in 2017 against Iowa State up the sideline?
Yeah, yep.
The only reason I was able to make that play is because Joel Lanning dove at my knees, but I knew he was going to do it. So I just blocked him like I was blocking a shot in wrestling. And just spun around, and I was as wide open as possible because he was on his face instead of covering me.
You got like you got.
He was expecting you to ISO
him. Yeah, because it was a pass 22B sail over the top. They covered the sail, so since we sailed the top off the defense, and their linebacker was sitting on his face because he was afraid of me, I just caught a ball for like 28.
I was going to say, you got like 25 or 28 on that, didn't you?
Yeah, something like that. And Doyle, that was the most hyped Doyle's ever been, dude. We scored on that drive, and he just came over. And he was like, that was all you. You did that. And he was so hyped. He was giving me so much love for that.
Man, that had to feel good.
Of course, anytime you hear positivity on the sideline in your direction from Doyle, it means more than every single teammate who could have patted you on your ass combined.
Yeah.
Doyle doesn't say much on the sideline that isn't straight to the point, fucking pun alert, this, military, bang, bang, bang on his checklist. He came up to me and was hyped, so that felt good.
Iowa State top five environment, top three environment that we ever played in? Rose Bowl, Big Ten Championship.
I hate to give them that. No, Rose Bowl wasn't it. Mm-mm. Rose Bowl wasn't it. Big Ten Championship was on there.
Rose Bowl was pretty lit, dude.
Are you saying outside of Kinnick?
Yeah. Outside of Kinnick, of course.
Penn State's the craziest place I've ever been.
Fuck. Penn State's up there. But no, Big Ten Championship's got to be number one.
Number one.
Well, no. Big Ten Championship comes with the caveat that it's the Big Ten Championship. You're playing in Lucas Oil. The prime time playing for the whole thing.
Nah, man. I'm saying if that was just a game versus Michigan State, that's still top two in an 8-2.
You're kidding me.
Dude, the juice in that place was
only
unreal.
Only but it is, it's got a roof on it, man. It holds the noise.
It's
you got to think about
juice, man.
Think Kev, about that, all of the sound waves that were pointed directly at the field when we were in Penn State Stadium, dude. There was 120,000 people against us. There was nobody there for us, dude.
I agree.
The Big Ten Stadium was half and half.
I agree with both of you. There is a clarifier there with the Big Ten Championship because it is propped up as a game that means more, and it is, you know, it's one of five games on that day that matter. I mean, every conference championship's on that day,
but it's the only one in that time slot.
Yeah, prime time. I don't think that if we play Michigan State the week before that to end the season, like at Michigan State or in Kinnick, like it matches that. Like I do think it's propped up there. I think you put that by itself. If you're just going strictly regular season away games.
You're right, Kevin. You're totally right though. The Big Ten Championship, the feeling just being between the white lines, it was unbelievable. You're totally right.
But after that,
so I we're just going regular season away games. Yeah, I'm going to go Happy Valley number one, and yeah, I'll go Jack Trice number two. And I don't think that would be the case for any other away team other than the Hawkeyes.
No. Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I wouldn't know. I don't attend a lot of. You're saying the environment.
I'm saying if the Baylor Bears are playing at Iowa State, that's probably not going to make their top three away venues to play at.
Oh, as an opposing team. Yeah, I don't think.
I think they only get up and that place is only juiced for the Iowa State game to that degree.
Yeah, I think it's been juiced other times, but I'd love to ask an Iowa State.
It has been. It's definitely been juiced other times, but there's always a one team in particular. If you're playing all the teams every year, like Iowa or Kinnick is juiced for Illinois, but it's not as juiced for Illinois as it is for Michigan at night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like there's different levels of teams you play every year that we have to bring the biggest of buzz to that stadium. We have 100%. To. It's their Super Bowl. It's brother shit, dude. We talked about this.
Well, one of my favorite things was when game day was there.
Which was sweet.
It game day doesn't come to Iowa State if it's
not us.
If it's not Iowa versus Iowa State.
And we were hyped at that time.
Yeah. I think it's one of my, if not the most favorite features of a game. The fact that, and I actually think they moved the student section
off of the tunnel.
I think so.
Off the ramp.
Why does that?
Why?
Why do I think that? I think I heard that.
dude, that's right there on Iowa's bench. That's such a perfect spot for it, unless they put it in the other corner. You got to keep it on Iowa's bench.
It was my favorite feature, the fact that you'd walk out of the side of that building, down the side of
– Or did they flip the sidelines again?
I don't know. But for some reason, I think they moved the student section to a different area. But there's nothing more juice than when that corner could see the Hawks walk out of the locker room. And it's immediate. Student section at Jack Trice will move from the northeastern side. Yeah, it moved it last year to the southeast side.
Wow, that's a real – oh, wait. Depending on what direction the stadium's facing, that's either good or bad. It either stays on Iowa sideline or it just
– It stays on Iowa sideline.
Oh, it does. Okay.
And it just moves to the other end.
So you're not going to be walking in by them, which, yeah. I'm guessing there were some rowdy kids throwing some shit at opposing teams or something.
It was my favorite feature.
Dude, it was the best.
There was not only that, but as a kid – Seeing that the thickness of the rivalry, you know, like the tenseness in the air, and then getting to experience it from the other side of the fence as you walk down, and you feel, I mean, you're, when you play football, you feel like a gladiator. You're wearing armor, right? And you feel like you're going to war. And I was in reality going out to maybe play 7 plays, and I wasn't going to hit anybody. But it felt like.
You could maybe hit somebody.
I occasionally hit somebody.
You could turn around and hit somebody.
But when I walked out, and I know you guys know the feeling, but I don't know what words to put on it. The intent, the electricity in your blood was just on 10. And we kind of got it at Penn State when you walked that tunnel underneath the stadium and the gates were up and you could see – But it's just it's different at Iowa State when they had those students.
Fuck
right there.
Them Penn State fans behind them gates. They know we can't get to us, and by God did I try. Oh, that piece of shit.
Anyway.
Also, just I think G Bone's right. I think this is maybe the most I've liked football in a while because I'm currently having huge nostalgic flashbacks of the whole 2 hours before our final time playing Iowa State up there in 2017. Like, I made sure to take in all the moments, especially because my ankle was very unhealthy for that game. So I may or may not have slipped an extra perkadoodle into my pregame routine. And I was honestly on cloud 9. Just taking in everything that encompassed our last time playing in Iowa State. And I'm glad I did because right now I'm having that entire 2 hours just like run through my head. How incredible. The pregame, the fast, what they call it, the primer.
Yep.
How the primer like took a little extra time. Oh, they had to run all the way across the field.
Dude.
Doyle was like extra hyped about that primer.
Man. Dude, the primer, the students were already on the fuck Iowa chant.
I spent a lot of extra time in the training room that day because I had to get my ankle retaped because it was just not doing good. And dude, there's that experience. And then you get your uniform on and do the warm up, which is always great. Just being able to play around when you're just in the environment, but it doesn't matter. It's phenomenal. It's
special.
You're playing football for like the joy of the game at that point for the warm up part of it.
It was.
And then after KF gives his pregame talk and you walk down that long tunnel and you turn outside, you hear the noise, they see you. And you bring the noise, right? Because there's already noise. There's buzz. But when we turn the corner, we bring the noise.
I got fucking goosebumps right now.
And
I can see it.
That walk down the tunnel, man. You get to do it from the front one time if you're lucky. And I was lucky enough to get to do it from the front one time. Mm. And what an experience that ramp is when that when them kids are right there. That was that was a hell of a 45 seconds for the boys.
You walk out of those doors and you're looking across the gate at kids who are you. They were you. You were them.
Oh, on the hill.
You're looking at kids that just they're growing up in Iowa and they do anything. A lot of them eventually will be a high school football player who would do anything to just be able to wear the Iowa State or Iowa jersey. And it's like, it is a crazy sort of, it's a moment, man. That's a moment. I cannot believe you called it a perkadoodle. The game in 2017 was also one of the best Iowa State games in the last 20 years.
It was incredible.
Rare, like shootout almost, right? Wasn't it high scoring?
It was a comeback. It was a second half comeback by the boys.
Yeah, 44-41 and
NG Bone, something that you're not privy, the information that you're not privy to yet, but you're about to be, is that the game winning touchdown in overtime was called to me and one of our receivers or one of our tight ends lined up in the wrong. It was Noah, I believe. Could be wrong. I don't know. Somebody lined up in the wrong set. Brian called a timeout, came out in a different formation, and ran the out to Amir. And it worked so great. We won. But prior to that timeout, I was getting the ball.
Was that third down where we would kick the field goal if that didn't work?
Yes.
I think so. I'm going to pull it up here. What I do know is that Miguel Racinos was money balls this day.
Yep.
Akram Wadley, overtime field goal. It doesn't say what down and distance it was. I know Amir. That the other day when he had that clip, he's like, I'm one of the baddest motherfuckers in the league. He really does carry this confidence of like, because I believe he's.
That's a great confidence to play with, man.
Yeah.
Helps a lot on the football field if you just feel bulletproof.
He made an insane catch earlier in the game, I think, for a touchdown. I think Vandy had an insane toe drag for a touchdown. That game was so back and forth. It was pretty much everything you could wish for in an Iowa State Iowa football game. And the boys are going to be in it. It's both teams are 1-0. Iowa State handled a UNI team that, who knows? They're not the UNI of old.
Handled's generous.
It was like 30-0.
It was a sloppy 30 to whatever.
I mean, I don't care how you get to 30-7. That's a pretty good handling of it.
I don't know.
Well, tell me your thoughts. What is your opinion on that?
I don't think they look that great.
Oh, I haven't actually watched any of the game. I just saw the scoring. I've listened to a couple podcasts. I've listened to a couple recaps, read some stuff. From what I can tell, their defense is good. They are, I mean, half of their team is in Vegas right now because, you know, they're all they can do is gamble. They're ineligible for the rest of their life. So their offense is struggling to replace people. They got a redshirt freshman quarterback named Rocco Becht. And I don't.
It's a great name.
It isn't. It's a bit of a like a strong football name. I don't think their offense is going to be great. I know they were picked damn near last in the league by all the, you know, the preseason polls and stuff. It's going to be a low scoring game.
36.5 last I saw.
Is that the line?
That is the over under
on this particular game right here.
Yeah.
36.5.
I hope we score 36.5 alone, dude.
Their defense is good.
Dude. Listen.
Hey, Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
It was but 2 years ago when the walk-ons were searching for somebody to handle their merchandise. We found a company, we did our first merch run, and it all went down the drain because we found somebody that wasn't like AdCraft, that didn't operate like they do at AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. And thank God we found the people at AdCraft, because ever since then, since we started working with this beautiful company from Clinton, everything we've done has been smooth, has been fast, has been quality, and they take care of a lot of headaches that the Washed Up Walk-Ons, our brand, would otherwise have to deal with, and we don't want to have to think about those things. Their customer service, their warehouse staff, their design team, the speed at which they get things done, their ability to handle sports teams and companies and brands like ours. They can do it all, and if you have custom merchandise and apparel needs, or you just have an idea for a t-shirt that might sell a little bit, hit up AdCraft, adcraftwebstores.com. I promise, the walk-on promise, that you are going to be satisfied with what they can do for you. AdCraft, custom apparel and merchandise.
At some point, fuck their defense. Our offense needs to be good.
I know. The problem is Cade isn't 100%.
What's up with that leg?
Said it himself.
What up with it?
Quad?
Quad.
Just
can speak from experience. Those things are nagging little bitches.
Yeah.
A lot of people agreed, Drake, that our line needs to find a little mean streak.
Not that I actually care what many of the general public opinion on our offensive line is, because it's like a genuinely complex machine that is much harder to diagnose than what the general public thinks it is, and they've pissed me off on this many, many times. But I mean, thanks for agreeing with me.
As I mentioned in the recap episode, I think on third down, which we will find ourselves in a lot in an Iowa State football game, I think Cade gives us a significantly better shot. This offense as a whole gives us a significantly better shot of converting on those third downs. Coach Ferentz specifically came out, and I don't know, this seemed odd to me, but he came out and was like, I think it's no secret, okay? The quarterback sneaks, the bootlegs, not in the playbook right now. Talking about Cade. So KF doesn't really let on to stuff like that.
Really sucks for Cade, though, because he wants to be mobile. It's his nature to be a semi-dual threat quarterback, if not just a straight-up dual threat quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm not sure.
It's kind of what Siege was going through with that groin, that abdominal, that hernia injury he played his senior year with, dude.
Yeah, he gritted
out.
He
could be drop back Siege, but he couldn't move.
Yeah. I don't think it's that bad.
Dude, Siege was bundled up like a kid, a little kid in the wintertime his senior year, dude.
Yeah.
He was so beat up. They had so many different pads and braces on him to just try and hold him together.
Yeah, he should have just didn't practice some weeks.
He didn't move some weeks. My dude was going through it.
CJ is one of the tougher dudes.
Grit in CJ because the competitive drive. Because here's the thing. CJ Beathard is still that way. Dude, listen to this. You are going to love this. tight end U happens. He throws a lot of tight end U. We're on the golf course the next day at Troubadour. We play 18 holes, and our team happened to have Colby Parkinson and his wife. And his wife was a golfer at Alabama. And Colby is a pretty good player himself, and I'm not a terrible golfer. We ended up shooting 59 and beating CJ's team. CJ doesn't like that. So the whole time – oh, and then after the 18, we all went out as a huge group and played until the sun went down. And CJ didn't like to lose, so he was talking all this shit. Y'all didn't shoot 59. Anytime somebody hit a great shot, 59, huh? 59, huh? Whatever. CJ hits a bad shot, and he was like, oh, the wind didn't help that one. And I was like, how could the wind help it? It's going the other direction. What? And he started arguing with me. He's like, Drake, are you fucking dumb? He's like, are you fucking stupid? Like, this guy just, he hates to lose so much that one comment sent him to the moon because he was already this peaked about losing.
He's one of the more competitive dudes.
Dude, you beat him in a game of ping pong? World War III.
Well, most people didn't beat him.
I thought he was like the best ping pong player ever.
He's pretty good.
At least that's what you
guys
said.
Damn good. He's just one of the most competitive dudes. Love for the game. Loves to just go out and be with the boys and just compete and throw this pigskin around and just truly loved it. I'll never forget in 15 that play he made on his feet. He had like a 60-yard run when we were at Iowa State.
So the run at Iowa State was phenomenal. It was like they couldn't figure out that he was actually fast. Everybody was just trying to run him down, but it looked like they just couldn't find a way to get him on the ground.
Yeah.
The play I'll never forget from Siege, the touchdown run at Indiana.
Oh yeah.
I was terrified when he took that hit. You remember the helicopter, the diving touchdown? He got helicoptered.
This here, oh yeah, he just takes it down. I mean,
he's like, that guy's like, wait, how can I not run this guy down?
Man, yeah, CJ was different, man.
Still, CJ was different. Wasn't like two, three plays later, we went for the fake field goal for Marshall.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly half surprised he didn't get there.
I thought he would too. We were 32 yards out, and we're running it to get into the end zone.
Yeah,
it was the end of half.
Yeah.
So a lot of good memories here at the at old Jack Trice Stadium. I'll be in attendance. First Iowa State game that I will have.
You pretty close to there?
Oh, I mean, it's a 40 minute drive.
Yeah, that's close, dude. I got a 40 minute drive to train every day.
Yeah, 45 minutes from my house to, I mean, on game day, it'll be a little longer with traffic, but.
Yeah, that's close.
Speaking of traffic, Donnie's going to be there. Oh, we talked about that yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Old Donnie Trump.
Dude, the memories from Jack Trice, man.
They actually had a decent, like a pretty good away locker room.
Beautiful nice. Away locker room.
Yeah. Well, because I believe it used to be their home locker room. So that is
correct. Yep.
Dude, the facilities that we were allowed in that place, it made it feel like they didn't hate us.
Yeah, because they gave us all their old stuff.
Yeah, it was great. Now you go play at Northwestern, you'd rather just go home than put your uniform on. You get black mold lung in there.
Speaking of Northwestern, they might just want to call it a season. Tough one for Clemson as well.
Dude, there. And did you see the quote from Texas TCU's linebacker?
That the laughing stock of college football. Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. I guess getting beat by 60 in the national championship wasn't a wake up call, but I mean, at this point, we're the laughing stock of college football, so it better be. I kind of liked that quote from him.
It's a good quote. He's clearly
fucked. Especially because if it was number 57, the guy that plays with the cowboy collar, if that was the guy that said it, that's a good player. I liked watching him play.
Yeah, that guy's livid. He's pissed.
I don't think it's true. I don't think.
No, I think Colorado is the Cinderella of college football.
Yeah, I don't think TCU is by any means going to do what they did last year.
They're not our offense of last year.
And I think Colorado is much better than people thought they were. They just got caught. That's a tough schedule.
I got to go get more fluids.
All right. Kev, I had a couple people, several people actually reach out with the same question in my DMs this week. I was like, hey, listen to the recap episode. Didn't hear you guys talk about, or was a little shocked to not hear you guys talk about some of the lack of fundamentals on D. It looked like we weren't tackling as well. It looked like we were out of position in a couple spots. We didn't really touch on it. I think my response to the guy who said it was like, you know, I think when it comes to Iowa defense, we just generally subconsciously assume that Phil's going to figure it out. Those guys are going to figure it out and they'll be fine. Was there anything fundamental-wise?
There's a couple open field missed tackles that come to mind. Tackling in the open field is hard. It happens. I mean, if you're referring to like the last 2-3 minutes of the game, I'm not putting a whole lot of stock in that right now. It was some sloppy play there, but nothing I'm too concerned about.
From what I can tell, I don't think that this Iowa State team is going to – I don't know if they have a legitimate threat offensively.
I couldn't be less concerned about what I saw from their offense.
Defensive points, baby.
Potential.
Oh, dude, when Coop dropped that tip, I was crushed.
The entire stadium was crushed. We were in the box, and you could hear outside everyone go, oh.
Yeah, that was 6 points.
That was six. He'll get his, don't worry.
Would have been nice to have one already, though.
Sure would. Iowa currently has the longest streak of seasons with a pick six in the nation.
Wow. We're elite.
Pretty decent. I think that the defense will improve. The offense will improve.
You got to remember, we're missing one of our starting corners, too.
We didn't have Jamari, and we still don't have him. Ideally, X plays the entire game, right, and doesn't go down with an injury or cramps or whatever he had.
It's going to be much cooler.
It is. It is. It's going to be about 10 degrees cooler, I think. Especially by the end of the game.
Jack Trice's grass. Don't forget about that. That's a big factor.
It's true.
Grass is nice.
84 degrees.
Grass doesn't hold the heat near as bad.
Love that. Particularly love the weather just in general. It's been hot as hell. And I think we're getting like a 10-day cool front coming through that's going to make it like 70s, low 80s for the next 2 weeks in Iowa, which is fantastic.
And you got to imagine that was the last of the 90s we saw for the year, which I'm thankful for.
Probably. The players are thankful too.
Boys, I went on a little afternoon run trying to get my cardio up and my body weight down after training today, and it was 112 during my run.
It's not good.
No, thank you, man. No, thank you.
It's not good. I don't think that we need to be we need to be able to establish a ground game offensively. We have the running backs to do it. In fact, I think I turned to Grant or you, Kevin, on Saturday, and I said, if our line can figure out run blocking, we have an absolute stable. Like, I am happy, pleased with what our backfield looks like. Kevin, this defense at Iowa State.
I'm extremely impressed with what Caleb Johnson looks like in uniform.
Physical, dude.
Looks like a truly talented athlete.
Because Doctorman did an article on him right before the season. Something like I think it was called like genetics from God or something like that. Like gifted from God. He's a freak. He's a freak. He's built like an NFL running back.
He's built a little bit like Jalen Hurd was. You remember him? Kid from Tennessee that beat the hell out of us. Oof. He was a stupid, talented player, and he bounced around the NFL for a while, but had like back surgeries and missed 4 years and retired or whatever.
Was Kamara on the?
Yeah, he was on that team too.
On that team too. Yeah.
Yeah, but dude,
surprised he didn't lose by more.
Caleb Johnson looks like he could really do some numbers.
What I liked about Cade too was Cade was very. With these backs specifically, you could tell that he was really, really direct when he wanted to get it to them out of the backfield, and he knew the best place to get it to them where they were in open space and they could do work. Jazz is going to get a lot of that. He came in on third down. I like our offense. I like what we have. We just have to put it together. Seth Anderson. And Gary, you could pull up the Discord probably. I asked for questions for the Iowa State week. We can go over some of those now. Seth Anderson gave a body bag, not a full on body bags comment, but
who?
He let the Iowa State locker room have one if they want it.
Remind me who Seth Anderson is though.
Transfer wide receiver, caught the first touchdown the other day.
Cool.
Number six.
Charleston Southern. Charleston. So
they said.
But here's the thing, though. Respect to him for bringing back the body bags, but
no, he didn't. He didn't fully bring. It was more of just like a. It was a dramatic sort of.
What does he actually know about the rivalry, though? If we're being real.
Well, and that plays into this. What he said was, he was asked what he sees in Iowa State's defense, and his response was, a lot of opportunity.
Ooh. Oh, I mean, that's kind of just
it's like, just hey, football talk, right?
Yeah, like, I'm coming to get you. I'm gonna come towards you.
It's definitely not.
Now just back it up. You gotta back it up there and play good,
right? And he did the first week. I'd love to see him make plays like that this week.
I mean, he put that dude on skates, bro. Yeah.
I'll tell you this: the fact that Cade led Michigan to a Big Ten championship. And played in some big time environments. That bodes well.
Oh, Cade's going to eat this environment up. He's a charismatic dude.
Yeah,
Cade's a cool character, bro.
I know,
he's Drake. A smooth criminal.
You've been reposting the stuff.
I reposted one thing about him.
The social media that they've been putting out with Cade and him coming down the tunnel for the like that boy was juiced.
Dude, he was hyped to be a Hawk. Really, for real, hyped to be a Hawk. It was good to see.
Yeah. And he's going to feel it this week, and I think he thrives in that environment. So I feel better about the Iowa offense here moving forward. But
I hope he can sit in the pocket. They did a great job protecting him last week. I hope he can sit in the pocket, deliver the ball, and try and stop from re-aggravating that quad so damn much.
I'll tell you this. We're going to need better special teams. Special teams is important. A couple of years ago, that punt went off Iowa State's back. We jumped on it.
That was so awesome.
That was ball game. I mean, Keith Duncan, potentially one of the greatest performances by a kicker in Iowa history when it was sloppy, the rain delay of 3 hours. He made four field goals in that mud hole to basically win that game.
Dude. I love Keith Duncan, man. And I love Miguel. I love Marshall. Dude, I really liked our kickers, man. Our punters wore on me to no end, and I wanted to strangle them for the entire time we were there. And I actually got in trouble for that. But, we had some good kickers, man. We have been blessed as Hawks with our kickers.
And Stevens is he's a great kicker.
He's like 17 for his last 19.
Stevens might be the difference. Might be.
Let's hope not, but
I hope not.
I don't think they're going to be able. I think we're going to be able to put at least 3 touchdowns on them.
Yeah, I
think our defense is going to make their lives miserable. Our field position advantage is going to be significant in this game, I would assume.
I was just going to say, I do feel a defensive – a big defensive play coming. Grant, you want to hit us with some more of those questions from the Discord?
Yeah. Do you guys want questions like specifically about this week's game, or like there's a lot
your
of
your favorite
like,
question?
Well, so can I ask my question first and then
yes. As well?
So we talked last week about Utah State's experienced QB, right? And I thought he actually played fine, but he did all have the one almost interception. Mm-hmm. So Rocco, obviously inexperienced QB, didn't figure out he's going to be a starter until very recently in the offseason. When you guys are in when there's situations like this, like young quarterback, does it make the defense like mouthwatering, like better chance to get cause turnovers? Like, should we be expecting that more this weekend?
Cav, go.
I mean, yeah, anytime you have a less experienced quarterback, there's more likely for mishaps to happen offensively, and mishaps typically lead to turnovers. As far as mouthwatering, I don't know about mouthwatering, man. Maybe I'm just different. When you're prepping for a game, you're just going back, you're looking at tape. So the one thing I didn't like about playing against inexperienced guys is you only have one game to look at this guy's tape, what he's about. You don't get to notice a whole lot of his tendencies. And those are some of the things that you can really key on to give you an advantage during a game. But overall, it's a much bigger advantage to be playing an inexperienced quarterback, even though you don't have as much tape on the guy.
So here's what I'm going to say, G-Bone. For this kid in particular, because he's Iowa State's quarterback in this rivalry game that means the absolute world to their program, he's feeling some things right now that he's never felt before a game of football in his life, no matter the level. When he goes out there, he's facing a defense that has been, for the past decade, pretty renowned for its production in the secondary. He's got to face guys who he knows are legitimate All-Americans. He doesn't trust his offensive line. He doesn't trust his offensive playmakers. He's a young quarterback, and he's got Phil's dogs. He's feeling things about the game he's never felt before at this current moment. That's what I'll tell you.
He's that environment that we talked about, the Hawks aren't the only ones who feel that.
He's going to overthrow some balls on Saturday. Maybe a couple of his early throws are going to sail because he's going to be too juiced.
Yeah, the Iowa State players feel that as well. And if you're a quarterback, yeah, that could affect it.
Kev, do you agree with that analysis?
I don't know. I never played quarterback before.
I love Kevin. So black and white. I would say this. I think with an inexperienced guy in a big-time environment, you're probably more likely to catch the guy just a half second early, a half second late. He's questioning decisions, especially early if the line starts to get to him. If he takes a hit or two, Aaron Graves is on his heels and he starts making bad decisions, right? Like, and to go all the way back to your original question, I think a couple of guys on this defense, guys like Coop and Cash, Wampa, all these dudes, I think they might go into every game salivating, honestly. I mean, these guys just...
If I got to play...
Maybe it's an every game thing. That's why I asked. I mean,
if I got to play DB for the Hawks, I would have been on the cloudest of nine.
Yeah.
That would be so cool, man. Like, talk about a becoming legendary position group. Like, if we're not tight end you, we're running down on – we're damn near Big Ten DBU for sure, and I won't disrespect some of the other historic defensive back programs by putting us up as DBU yet, but we have had some incredible defensive back history, dude.
Oh. Yeah.
I got another question here. It's so I'm going to reword it for them, but – does the practice in weeks leading up to like Iowa State, the big rivalry weeks, does anything change, or does the coaching staff try and still make it feel like a normal game week?
Yeah, we answer this every year.
It's a normal game in our building.
It is, but afterwards, I think we came to this conclusion last year. Afterwards, there is a sense of relief.
Well, yeah, because you won a trophy game, dude. There's a sense of relief after every win because no win is guaranteed, and winning is hard. there's a sense of relief no matter who you beat.
That's true.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Agree with that. As far as like practice script, is as far as everything on paper, Grant, everything's the same. Maybe there's a slightly different feeling in the building, but as far as what you'll see on a practice schedule throughout the week, everything is the same.
The way the coaches speak, it's the same.
Yeah. Yeah. The coaches will try to light up your fire, up your ass. Doesn't matter who you're playing every year. If you're playing one of the slapdick teams on your schedule, they'll try to find a way to kind of hype this team up
to scare you,
why they can be a dangerous team. I remember 2015
and it fucking worked.
We're playing North Texas in 2015. It's probably the third.
They were talking about Dan Carney. He's a legend. He had these boys ready to play.
The third or fourth game of the year. And they had this one who's pretty good receiver, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'll never forget Seth and Phil coming into the DB room. It's like, we're going against the number four receiver in the nation this week, which wasn't wrong. Statistically, he had the fourth most receiving yards in the nation at that date. But I'm just like, ah, shit. Can't ever get an easy one.
It's true, though. They were
like,
really,
you go into the game feeling like, all right, we got to be on our shit, right? The coaches were always really good at hyping up the other team.
Yeah.
And then, so I don't know if this one will apply to you as much, Kevin, but did you guys play anyone that you had, like, played in high school who was, like, on the Iowa State team as well? Like, was there any, like, friends that you guys faced?
Negative for me.
Yeah.
Played against a kid that went to Michigan. Trying to think of anyone else.
The answer for Drake and I is there's quite a few kids, yeah. Maybe not like.
So what's it? I mean, like you said,
not
like
for me, Kluver. Zero.
You're telling me that you never played against somebody that went to Iowa State in all 4 years of your high school?
Correct.
That's a lie. That's absolutely a lie.
Also,
what you talking about? To play football. Nobody that I played football against played football at Iowa State.
There has to be.
There's, I'm pretty sure there's not.
Okay, well, there was a ton for me. But, I mean, I wasn't boys with any of them, or, you know, a kid from Valley, lineman, Lazard. We played against several dudes.
So then, like, how much of this, though, for some of these guys, though, it's like they've already been playing some of these guys, though, for a long time, like, because it dates some of
– None of that matters.
Some of it dates back to high school.
No, it doesn't matter. High school has zero effect. It is cool. It's cool as an Iowa kid, too.
Everything happens as so much more of an operation and, like, a machine than it does just good high school players going out there and just being really good, dominant football players. Everybody's got to do their job and hope that it runs efficiently.
Probably the most, I just forgot, but probably the most relevant one was Joel Lanning. Quarterback against us for at least 1 year, maybe two, and then switched to linebacker in my senior year in high school.
And cuts on ISO blocks.
Yeah, my senior year in high school, the old Marshalltown Bobcats, who – along with the Muscatine Muskrats, are not doing good right now, high school football wise. We ended a
losing streak that was pretty historic, dude.
Yeah, and then we followed it up with another one the next week to the same team.
Yikes!
The Marshalltown Bobcats rolled into Ankeny, you know, week one, 2012, and we got our fucking asses ripped. I mean, we got. Lanning and the boys were all over us that night. It wasn't good. Thankfully, we got to turn that around when we got to college between at least me and him. So, shout out to Joel. He went to the Cowboys for a year or two. Nice kid, I think, but doesn't take on blocks well.
For what, to play linebacker?
He went as an undrafted free agent and didn't make the team.
Yeah, he didn't make the team.
But what did he get signed as? A linebacker?
Yes, I do believe.
Probably a fullback or something like that.
Don't disrespect me like that.
Let me see it. share that, Grant. Yeah, LB. Let's be honest. He looks like a youth pastor.
Crazy stat line here.
Fucking wild he stats.
He was unreal that year.
Yeah.
Nightmare yeah. to play against.
Yeah. Okay.
Tough in the NFL though.
It is.
Like just like not a lot of dudes even have a PFF page like this, but
true. It's
tough in the NFL.
Any more good questions, Grant, before we move on to maybe looking at some picks for this week?
There's a lot of like what's it like to play in someone's Super Bowl, what's worse, losing to Iowa State or literally any conference opponent. I guess that one's more serious. Like would you rather
I would rather lose to Iowa State than a conference opponent because it's early in the season. You can make up for that down the road, and it doesn't affect if you lose to Iowa State, it absolutely sucks. But if that's the type of wake up call that your team needs and you go on a run in the conference and end up being conference champs late in the season, it was a learning experience. Never want to lose to either, but it means less negative to your season if you lose to the clowns.
Purely out of the conference race, yeah, I'll agree with Drake, but if it was like a two-game season and you played Iowa State and some other random conference team, I would much rather beat Iowa State than the conference team every year.
100%. I would much rather lose to the conference team if it doesn't matter to conference play.
Yeah, I'll echo their sentiments.
Yeah. And that's pretty much all of them there. Like there's some.
Kev, you've agreed with me a lot this episode, and I'm not even sure how to feel about it.
I don't like it very much. You got to change your opinions.
Spread is 4. How do you guys feel about that? Iowa 4-point.
Yeah, this can get us into the.
I'd hammer
let's
that.
Let's go ahead and cue us up there, Clove Dog.
DJ Kevin.
Yeah. All I do is win. No matter. It's the best soundbite on earth, dude.
Hey, G Bone, don't you forget about. You know what? I would like to give G Bone the floor. As a matter of fact,
for what? I already did my victory lap. I'm not doing that.
You again. Said Wednesday victory lap.
No, I said I might, but I, you know what? I did it already.
I set you. I put your blocks out. I got the starter gun in the air, dickhead.
No, we did the. We look. I mean, there were some people on Instagram who were saying fade Grant, fade Gary, and you know, it didn't go very well for some of those people. So I just hope they learned. Because they got embarrassed on national television, taking LSU, who I perfectly described word for word exactly what was going to happen a week in advance. But it is what it is. I'm not going to do a victory lap. I'm not going to do
What was your record last week, Gary? Did you sweep
just,
them?
Just 2-1.
He was 3-1. He didn't put one of the picks on, but he said against one of Kluver's. It was 3-1.
Yeah, look, and maybe people were praising in the Discord because I was on Duke early as well. Some people noticed that, but it's okay. Hey, we're no victory lap here. No victory lap.
Well, hey, 2-1. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing to shake your head at. 3-1 with an asterisk.
Got to put it on there.
Because you asked the question, I'll lead it off with, I got the Hawks -4 this week.
There we go.
Put
the gavel down on that one. That's Drake's bet of the week.
The Iowa State offense looked pretty anemic last week against an inferior opponent. Talking 250 yards total offense. They went 2 of 11 on third down.
Yikes.
And now they're going up against the Hawks. Much better play. I don't see them having much success offensively whatsoever. And I think the Hawks offensively, I mean, even if they just match what they did last week, I think they covered this number. Almost no problem. So I love the Hawks this week.
How much do you take into account that Iowa State has two players on defense named Hammond Bacon?
You know, if this was the Floyd of Rosedale game, I would take that into that at least worth 3 points for the opposing team, but it's not. We're playing for the Cyhawk, not for Floyd. So
that'd be cool for Floyd.
That'd be good. Okay, I love it.
Next pick. This is probably going to be a little bit of a anti-public pick, but I got the under in the Nebraska-Colorado game at 60.
Under?
I think the people saw a lot of flash out of Colorado, but I feel like this game will slow down a little bit, especially I don't think Nebraska throws the ball more than 15, 20 times this game. I think they're just going to keep the ball on the ground. I think they're going to burn a ton of clock. And I think that speeds the game up, limits the amount of points. I like the under in 60 on this game. Plus, I think Nebraska's defense is going to be a little bit better than what TCU showed last week. So I got the under in 60, Nebraska-Colorado. Then the last game, I got Virginia Tech -3 at home versus Purdue. Purdue's going through a little bit of a rebuild year. First away game. Virginia Tech didn't look great that last week, but they looked good enough, and I think they get the win here at home.
All right. There you go. And listen to Kevin. Don't listen to me. Maybe listen to Grant here in a second, but don't listen to me. This is not betting advice, although it is a segment sponsored by
Betfred. Betfred. Shout out Fred.
Fred, he's the bonus king, right? And I already had some people shooting in their $111 free bet after losing their first. I think it's after you, if you lose your first your first wager, or maybe the first wager that you do lose, you get $111 free bet after that. Kevin was able to deduce on Friday last Friday. They're basically giving away free money over there at Betfred, so shout out to them. And to kick this off, I'm going to Colorado as well. I'm not going to touch the over-under. I do think, you know, just put me right on the Dion and Colorado bandwagon. And Nebraska already fucked me once. But Grant's wiping his face.
Don't look at me. This is why I said don't.
Give me the Colorado -3, man. I'll take Colorado -3. Nebraska, they're going to elevation, right? Suck some wind. Nebraska's
beautiful stadium at Boulder, by the way.
Mountains in the background, I'm sure. My second pick is going to take us to where are we at? Oh, we're going with the Iowa State game. I'm not now. I'm flipping. Now I am going to the over under line. I'm going under. I saw this game open up. Where it is now, Kev, I think. It's been there the whole time. 36?
36-5 last I saw.
36-5. So I'm going under on that. That would require both teams to score 18 points, and you'd still have the under there. Just don't know if that's going to happen.
That's not a lot of points, boys. But I don't think Iowa State I would be surprised if Iowa State scores more than 17, though.
Give me the under on that. And then my final one, we're going to go 2-2 lane. Ole Miss at Tulane. I'll take the green wave to cover 7.5.
I like that bet.
Yeah. I'll take the green wave. One of the coolest logos in all of sports, in my opinion. And, you know, like they're kind of like the little guy, right? Like, you know, who's Tulane? Why is Tulane any good? Why should they be good at football? I want them to cover 7.5 against Ole Miss.
I'm going to change my bet. Or you can add it into another one. I like the over in the Purdue-Virginia Tech game more than Virginia Tech -3, but I also like Virginia Tech -3. The over is at 46.
Well, what do you want for the graphic?
Give me the over.
Okay, what's the number?
46.
Okay. Any fun fights this weekend, Drake?
There is a pay-per-view in I think they're doing it in Sydney, Australia. I know they're doing it down under. And Izzy is fighting Sean Strickland, and I'm taking Izzy.
Oh.
Tai Tuivasa is the co-main event against Alexander Volkov, which is guaranteed fireworks because Volkov's kind of on a tear right now, and Tai is a knockout machine. And I don't know who to take in that fight. I just know it's going to be incredible because whoever you take in a heavyweight fight, you're flipping a coin unless it's John. Because, or a guy like Cyril Gane, maybe, because otherwise the skill gap isn't wide enough, and those guys punch so hard that predicting heavyweight fights is almost like flipping a coin.
It just takes one.
It takes one. Volkov's like 6'10", so he's a hard guy to get to.
6'10"?
Yeah.
Jesus,
he's a big guy.
Christ.
And then there's a guy by the name of Tyson Pedro who fights out of Izzy's camp, and I think he's going to get it done. I would take Izzy and Tyson Pedro for sure. I also kind of like Manel Kopp against this young kid out of Brazil. They brought this young kid in on short notice, 7-0. He fights out of Oliveira's camp at Shootbox. So those guys throw hammers, but Manel Kopp is like a Ferrari of an athlete. So I think he'll be able to get it done.
And then is Iowa State minus four also when you went on?
I want Iowa minus four.
Oh, sorry.
I want Cooper DeJean over on interceptions because you know it's only a 0.5.
Can you bet that?
I don't know. Maybe like somewhere you might be able to bet that.
And Grant, I want you to put those two Iowa picks on there for sure. And if you want to put five picks on there, just fucking do it. Or put the Iowa minus four and Coop as a parlay.
Okay. Just creating our own parlays here. Grant, what is your mastermind whipped up this week for your, you know, some of your best plays?
I have my three for this week are going to be North Carolina State +7.5 versus Notre Dame. I feel like Notre Dame getting a little too much love early. I thought North Carolina State is a little better than they showed against UConn, so I'm going to take them. Washington State +6.5 versus Wisconsin. It just feels kind of weird, Wisconsin going up to Washington State. That seems like just so that shouldn't happen. And also, like, they lost
to them last year, I'm pretty sure.
They lost to them at home last year. Yeah, they lost them in Madison. I watched Washington State versus Colorado State, and Washington State can sling the ball. They throw it everywhere. Awesome. It was awesome. I'll be taking Washington State. And then Illinois +3 Friday night versus Kansas. We're chatting up in the Discord a little bit about it earlier. So and I like Illinois in that one. So Illinois +3. Those are my three.
All right. Well, there we go. I do want to give one last shout out before we end this episode. Last week, right before we did the live show, I got to meet one of the more active Discord members, Cade. Took a little trip to Estella.
I met him at Estella as well, dude. He was wearing a washed up walk-ons hat when we met.
The same one.
Shout out to you, Cade. You fucking loyal bastard.
And I gave him one of the new ones.
Burrito too.
Yeah, I gave him one of the new ones. He didn't get there in time because I think he was working at noon. I got there.
I'm not gonna lie, I definitely wanted the burrito with the pancake in it, and I thought that was the one I ordered, but I didn't. So
I laid off that because I was about to go play a round of disc golf at shout out Altmeyer disc golf course in Iowa City or Corville. I had a burrito. It was very, very good. I will put it 0.1 ahead of Poncheros for the authenticity. It was good. It was good. The tortilla was great. And that's all I got.
Can I make an update on my Iowa over every game, by the way? Kevin made a good point about that also implies like the Iowa defense play bad. So I think I'm going to change it to just Iowa team total over every game. I think I'm going to change it if it's allowed with the people.
I'll allow it.
Because I don't want it to be going against the defense as well because I didn't really think about that.
All right.
Okay. I just wanted to make an update. Thank you.
It's been amended. Hope you guys have a fantastic Thursday. If you're going to the game, stay safe.
Or don't. Get in fights.
Or fight people, right? There's probably going to be some protesters there for the political shit.
Definitely fight them, pussies.
Yeah, get into as much mischief as you want, I guess.
This rivalry week. Who gives a fuck?
Going to be talking about a dub in the Cy-Hawk on Monday. We'll see you then. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.